Blog Talk Radio. Praise God, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise out there, ladies and gentlemen. And we're just excited about you joining Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, ladies and gentlemen. She's the host and facilitator tonight. And we're just excited about everybody who's coming in on the line and those who'll be listening via the internet as well. But before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to give the Lord another hand clap of praise for who he is out there. Let's give him another praise, for God is good, ladies and gentlemen. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, real quick, for those who may be joining us for the first time, just want to make sure you know this is an awesome, awesome program. So this is, again, Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon, co-host and facilitator, inspiring one another in the unity, spirit of unity, ladies and gentlemen, the powerful women's small group online discussion hosted by Dr. Cole. It's featuring the book and discussion on Cultivating My Heart by author Vera Leray Warner, Pastor Vera Leray Warner, ladies and gentlemen. So we're so excited about that. They've been diving in it for weeks, and we're going to just keep it moving today as well. Also, too, the church that sponsors this awesome event, ladies and gentlemen, awesome time on the air, is Kingdom Life Worship Center, located in Fayetteville, Georgia, under the leadership of Bishop John and Dr. Janice Crenshaw, ladies and gentlemen. So we are excited about Bishop and Doc leading the way in the Word. Kingdom Life Worship Center, yes. Amen. Well, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and open up the line. We're going to give the number out, 347-843-4559, for those who like to be part of the program listening tonight. Once again, 347-843-4559. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Cole is pretty busy, so you all put your hands together for Dr. Sharon Cole as we open up her mic. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. I had asked Elder Kevin if he would play that song. It just really brings gratefulness to my heart, just thinking about what God has brought me from. And when I think about just meditating on the goodness of the Lord and how he's blessed and how he's done great things in my life, and I'm sure he's done great things in you all's life as well, it just really gives me a grateful heart. I think about that song when it says, "You don't know the cost of the oil that's in my alabaster box." And you don't, because a lot of times people don't know your story. They meet you where you are, and they don't know the things that you've been through. But I tell you, I was a prisoner of sin, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. But I thank God for how he's delivered and how he's brought me thus far. And I thank God for just being saved and sanctified and just filled with his precious Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So without further ado, I am going to get started on, it's going to be chapter 10, A Grateful Heart. I was reading and I saw this passage, and it says, "The seeds of discouragement cannot take root in a grateful heart." And I just thought that was so awesome, and I just wanted to just mention that before I even get started. In chapter 10, Pastor Vera goes on to talk about how to cultivate a grateful heart. And I like the way that she starts off, the way that she just kind of brings it up to today's times or whatever. And one of the things that she said was, you can only imagine what it was like in the town of Galilee and Samaria, and how, you know, the folks had already heard about Jesus, how he was going throughout just performing miracles and delivering folk and just blessing. So she goes on to say that there were these 10 men, they were lepers, of course, and how they were just anticipating their opportunity, their chance to be healed, and how they had already heard about Jesus, how he had delivered Lazarus' daughter and raised her from the dead, and how the demons had been delivered from Mary Magdalene, the 7 demons that she was delivered from. And then they go on to talk. She goes on to talk about how Jesus had raised a widow's son back to life, even during the funeral procession, after he had died and was actually in a coffin. So they were really anticipating this day of being healed, of their opportunity to be healed. So let's just go ahead and dive in. Now, When I looked up the word leprosy, it actually appears about 40 times in the Bible. Of course, it depends on the translation. And when we look up leprosy, another name for it now is Hansen's disease, H-A-N-S-E-N-S, Hansen's disease. And what it's caused from is a bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. And it's actually the same bacteria that causes tuberculosis. It's another form of it. They're from the same family. Now, the bacteria that causes tuberculosis is called Mycobacterium tuberculosis, whereas the one that causes leprosy is Mycobacterium leprae. So, as I mentioned, it's from the same family, and what normally happens with leprosy is that this bacteria affects the skin, the eyes, the lining of the nose, and also the nerves. It's not mentioned a whole lot. It's not detailed as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as how it really affects those that contract leprosy. But actually, it causes light spots on the skin. It causes the hair to turn white. It disfigures the skin and the bones. It twists the limbs like the fingers and the toes. And actually, the fingers can become claw-like, or claw-like hands like an animal. It affects the facial. It affects the face in that it thickens the outer ear, and actually to a point where it can actually collapse the nose. Now, it impacts the nervous system in a way that it affects the nerve endings. In other words, the nerve endings are affected so much in that they cannot feel pain. It actually reminds me of a patient that has peripheral neuropathy, and that's where we have diabetics that come in and the nerves have been damaged so much that they have tingling, they have numbness or whatever in their extremities, and a lot of times they can't determine hot from cold. It gets to a point where you have to really be careful. They have to always wear shoes or whatever. So this particular condition or disease is spread through respiratory droplets, in other words, through sneezing, through nasal secretions, and a person would have to be in contact with the person that had leprosy for a certain amount of time. Now, in the Bible, God gave specific instructions on how the Israelites were to deal with leprosy and other skin disorders. I have a book here that I use, and it's called Manners and Customs in the Bible, and it's by Victor Matthews, and I actually love this book, and I've used it quite a bit to do research when I'm reading my word. Excuse me. So one of the things that he mentions as far as how the Israelites were to deal with leprosy, that is Victor Matthews, he said one of the common denominators for most of these diseases was that they were considered the result of sin and a sign of God's displeasure. So they felt like they were affected with leprosy because of sin or something that God was displeased with in their lives. So the person that was affected with leprosy, they would have to go to the priest to be examined. And you can find that in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 2 to 3. And if you look at Matthew 8, 2 through 4, I'll read just a smidgen of it, or I'll kind of compact it. It says, remember when the leper knelt before the Lord and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, and he was immediately cleansed from leprosy. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So now when Jesus told this leper to go and show himself to the priest, that was part of the custom. Now, for a certain primary appearance of eruption or discoloration of the skin, after they had shown themselves to the priest, they had to wait increments of 7 days. And what would happen after the 7 days, they would go back to the priest, and the priest would look for outward symptoms like the lesions. So if the lesions were still present after that time, the priest would declare the individual unclean and outcast him from the community and the temple. The contagion was also considered transmissible through clothing. So what they would do is they would have to burn their clothing if they could not wash the clothing to get the stains out because they were contaminated. So what they would have to do is burn the clothing that the individual had worn. So after that, what they would do is they would have clothing on, but the clothing were torn, and they would let the hair of their head hang loose, and they would cover their top lip, and whenever they came out or came around other folk, what they would holler was, unclean, unclean, and that was to let the people know around them that they were lepers. Now, they were cast out, and they had to live alone outside in camps where they had all the other lepers or all the other folk that had different conditions or whatever that were considered contagious. And they were not able to come within 6 feet of a human, including their own families. And whenever the wind was blowing, they could not be within 150 feet. Now, they were considered unclean not only physically but also spiritually. Now, among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish law, leprosy was number two, only to the dead body and seriousness. So, in other words, leprosy was way up on the totem pole, if I could say. It was considered number two. So, number one was a dead body, and number two was a leper. So, in other words, lepers were really considered to be outcasts. They were really considered to be folks that you couldn't be around. They were really like folks that nobody wanted to be bothered with. So, now let's go ahead and take a look at Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and keep in mind they had to stand at a distance, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, we all know that Samaritans were pretty much not really whole Jewish or whatever. They were half-breeds. They were interracial. They were interracial folks. So they were kind of like the outcast or whatever. But just think, the Samaritan was the only one that came back and told Jesus, "Thank you." So when he came back and told Jesus, "Thank you," Jesus asked him, "Were not there 10 of you that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, you know, Jesus always asks rhetorical questions. He already knew the answer before he even asked. So he was saying, okay, if I healed 10 and only one came back, 10%, then where are the other 9? Now, I began to look up the number 10. And we all know that the number 10 represents completeness, and order. So now the former leper had to make it complete by turning around and going back and saying thank you. And he was the only one that was grateful. So now when I think about it, I'm saying to myself now, the other 9, surely they couldn't have forgotten because, I mean, it was a short span of time that this happened. So did they get excited that they had been healed? Did they go and hang out with family and friends? Did they go to eat a meal? I mean, even bringing it up to today's time, did they go out to party? Did they decide, okay, I'm going to party or celebrate, I've been healed? Did they go shopping for new clothes? I don't know. I just don't understand, or I just can't fathom how 10 were healed and only one came back to say thank you. So when I think about this, I just recently had a scare myself as a woman. We all know that dreaded mammogram that we have to get if you're over 50. Everybody has to go in and get a mammogram. And one of the things that happened with me was they thought that they saw something on the mammogram. So my doctor called me, Dr. Edwards called, and she said, hey, and you know nobody wants to get a call from a doctor. So Dr. Edwards called, and she said, hey, I'm going to have to repeat your mammogram. Don't get upset. It's just that we saw something, and we just need you to go back in, and we're going to do another mammogram. We're also going to do an ultrasound. So So I was upset, not in a bad way, but I was upset. I was nervous. I didn't know what to think because, I mean, this had not happened to me before. So, of course, I go in. I'm laying there on the table. The girl is doing the mammogram. Then she finishes up and she does the ultrasound. And I'm looking in her face, but the whole time I'm laying there and I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I know this is just procedure, but I'm just asking you, God, please don't let them find anything. And I mean, I had already sent out a text to all the prayer warriors, to some ministers, some pastors, and I had asked them to be praying or whatever and touching and agreeing with me that they would not be able to find anything. Well, sure enough, after the mammogram and the ultrasound was over, Dr. Tate came in. He was a radiologist. He came in and he said, you know, I just want to let you know we didn't find anything. I did not, I mean, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, God, I thank you. And I mean, I think that kind of shocked him a little bit because he just kind of looked at me and he said, yeah. And and I don't know if he was a believer, but it really didn't matter because all I know is that I was grateful to God for them not being able to look or find what they thought they saw on the first time. I thank God for healing. So, thank you, Jesus. So, in saying that, I want to open up the lines, Elder Kevin, because I know that we have a lot of women on the line that are grateful for some things, and we're going to pick this grateful thing apart and talk about being grateful and some other things.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, all across the world there, we're listening to Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole. And Dr. Cole, all lines are open. God bless you.
Thank you. So now I know we've talked about the lepers, we've talked about leprosy, we've talked about being grateful, and we've talked about how this Samaritan came back to give God glory, to thank him for healing him from the leprosy. So got a question for you. Tell me, how do you define grateful? Or how do you define gratefulness and even express gratitude? And that's a question for everyone. Amen. I'm going to put myself on mute for a second.
Well, Dr. Sharon, I would define grateful as being overwhelming appreciation that cannot really be put in words. Gratefulness, I think, is something that comes from the heart. It's not necessarily the ability to articulate, but I think it's a deep passion of appreciation when you cannot really articulate it. I think it's a spiritual matter. So that's how I define gratefulness, because sometimes people can say thank you, but in their heart, there's not an element of gratefulness. I think it goes a little bit deeper than just saying thank you or whatever. I think gratefulness has a spiritual, deep, embedded element that shows itself through action. You know, if I'm grateful, then I respond in a way that's passionate toward that gratefulness. If I'm grateful toward the Lord, I'm certainly going to worship Him. I'm certainly going to, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm certainly going to strive to do the things that He has charged me to do because I'm grateful just to be alive. So, to me, gratefulness goes beyond just a thank you. It's a heart matter.
Thank you, Doc. And I like the way you expressed that when you said it's a heart matter, because it really is. And I know that we can show gratefulness in so many different ways. It could be a verbal thing, but like you say, it originates from the heart. I know sometimes when I'm grateful, I don't have the words to express how grateful I am. When I can sit and listen to the song that Elder Kevin played initially, I mean, I just sat in the chair and I began to weep. That's my heart pouring out to the Lord of my gratefulness to him just for delivering me for some of the things that had me bound. And it was something that I couldn't express verbally. Amen. So I thank you for sharing that. Would anyone else like to share, please? Amen. Amen. So I would like to ask, it is one of the questions at the end of the chapter. Ten were healed. One gave thanks. What does that say about the human spirit? And Doc actually talked on it, kind of touched it a little bit when she just gave her expression of her definition of grateful and how gratitude is expressed. So 10 were healed, one gave back to say thank you. What does that say about the human spirit? Amen.
That's a very, very good question. Praise the Lord. Amen. I guess, Sharon, if you think about it, if you asking that question from a collective level of discernment, because you're looking at 10 and only one came back, what does that say about the human spirit in comparison to 1 out of 10? Or, you know, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at it from that analogy. You know, it can say to us from a spiritual perspective, everyone that the Lord has granted his grace to is not going to necessarily be grateful. And they probably be more few than it is many, you know, that I could pull from that analogy of 10, one out of 10. And I guess when we look through the many examples in the scripture, how numbers really didn't mean very much to the Lord. Many times he moved more significantly when there was a response of just a few. Even when Gideon went, you know, he went from, I don't know how many, 10 or 20,000 down to 200 or 300, you know, when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name. He had 12 disciples, but only 3 was there when he went to pray, and they went to sleep on him. So what does that say? So what does that say about the human spirit is that, you know, gratefulness has to be something that's embedded into our hearts as a commitment to the Lord and not just a one-time episode based upon of something that he did for me. It's like the difference between praise and worship. I praise God for what he did, but I worship him because of who he is. So if he did not give me a pair of shoes today, I still would worship him. But how many people are just waiting on the handout to be grateful? That's not necessarily the definition of grateful, because gratefulness is a passionate, spiritual, deep embedded thing. I'm going to be grateful anyway because I woke up this morning. I may not have $1 million, but thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm alive and I'm well, so I'm yet grateful. So my heart toward the Lord and the things that I do is still going to be on a level of passion. So to me, that's just my take on the human spirit. It's personal. It cannot be really defined based upon an act of a collective group of people. It's an individual thing. So praise the Lord. I think that's a very good question. Very good.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Very quiet tonight, huh?
Yes, Lord. It was quiet last week, but it was about 6 or 7 women on there. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
but
Lord.
God's good. So we're praying that, you know, those that are listening, that should be something. I know they are tonight. And those that were even listening later, I believe that, you know, things that are being said are being, they're helping those that are listening.
Amen. 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 Now, One of the weed time questions that Pastor Vera kind of put out there was, can you think of a time or ask the Lord to reveal to you a time when you have not been grateful? And I know a lot of us don't like to really touch on that one or whatever, but there have been times not, because, I mean, we're human. There have been times when we haven't been grateful for some of the things that God is doing in our lives. Can you think of a time, and just one time when you were not grateful for something that God had did in your life? Amen.
It's a good question. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really think on that one.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm thinking of.
Go ahead on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought of one. Probably when I would have to say, for me, a job that I felt like in the past, a job that I felt like I deserved, that was. Given to me, and I wasn't as grateful as I should have been, because it was nothing that I did on my own. It was only through the grace of God that I got the job. And I think that there are times when we just think things are just natural and just should be handed over to us or whatever, and we don't think about it's nothing that we did, or it's not by our own merits. It's God blessing us and showing us that he loves us and he's doing these different things in our lives. So I would have to say a job in the past.
I would probably have to agree with that one as well, Dr. Sharon, as I think about my journey, particularly when I think about, you know, my journey through nursing and certainly my early years, of course, a lot of times you feel like, okay, I should have got that because you're doing the work anyway. And I can remember several years ago back, you know, at Baptist Hospital in Pensacola. And, you know, at that particular time, I felt that, you know, I should have been the manager instead of the assistant manager. because you knew that, you know, sometimes you feel like you're more qualified or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And there was not that element of being really grateful that you have a good job, you know, and to God be the glory, and the Lord is going to work everything out. So I can certainly agree with that example as well in my life.
Amen. 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 Okay. Another one of the weed times was, or self-examination questions was, to write down at least 10 things that you were grateful for. And I even, and for the sake of time or whatever, I kind of dropped it down to 3. And the first thing that came to my mind as far as being grateful was that of salvation. Because when I think about it, and one of the songs that I really love is by Tasha Cobb, and it's a song where she says, "Where would I be without you?" And I love that song because it really does minister to my heart as far as where would I be without the Lord. So salvation for me was like number one. That was the first thing out of my mind when I thought about things that I'm grateful for. So it was salvation, health, and family. And, of course, there are several others, but at the very top, for me, it's salvation. Amen. So it's open for anyone else that would like to share at least three things that you're grateful for.
I would have to certainly say salvation, but in addition to that, awareness of truth. Because there's so much deception in the world. And so I'm grateful to be aware of truth. Because people have twisted, turned, flipped up and down, you know, perverted, did whatever they wanted to do with scriptures. And just to be thankful and grateful for knowing the truth through salvation is top of the line for me, because certainly that filters down into every other area of our lives. I think about salvation, and I think about a, you know, a beautiful family, you know, healthy children, grandchildren, you know, those things. And thank God for livelihood in Him, that shelter over my head, you know, those things, and a peace of mind. I know I probably said too many, but praise God.
Praise God. Yeah, I know. When you're grateful, you could go on and on and on.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. That's why I had to cut it down to three. Praise God.
On and on.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
God will keep the mind. Keep the mind.
Yes, yes. Amen. And I'm just going to pause for a minute just in case someone else wants to chime in and say, I mean, at least one thing that they're grateful for. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. So I look at the Seed Time memory verse that really kind of one of my favorite verses. Of course, I like so many of them, all of them, really. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And that's Psalms 92, 1 through 2. For those that are on the line, I know that this is actually the last chapter of the book, but I just I would just say that, you know, it's been great going through the study. I pray that you all, you know, learned and the Lord spoke to your hearts and ministered to your hearts in a mighty way. I ask that you go back through the book from time to time. I think it's an awesome study that really kind of deals with the heart. There are actually several books. I think she may have one or two more out that talk about the heart or whatever, but I just pray that you know, don't put the book down, but just kind of go through it from time to time just to kind of study and let it minister to your hearts again. Amen. Amen. So I'll turn it over to Doc with that.
Praise the Lord. God bless you so much, Dr. Sharon, and thank those who may be listening tonight. I think this has certainly been an awesome journey talking about cultivating the heart. We cannot reflect upon that enough, because the heart is certainly the spirit of all of it. Paul said, I pray, God, that your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. And so every part of us is important as unto God. And we know the heart is really where it lies, you know. And our words, even the words that we speak, have power. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I think this has certainly been a journey that's been a blessing to me and those that have been on and have joined in and had comments. I pray that you've certainly been blessed. We certainly want to continue on. I know that we'll be praying and asking the Lord what the next book will be as we decide that. And then, of course, we will be communicating out to those that are on the line and those that are part of the group via text regarding when we'll have our
one-on-one fellowship there at Dr. Sharon's home. So we'll talk a little bit more about that and communicate that out and see how people feel about what that date and time may be. But I certainly appreciate the Lord for this journey. It has been a blessing. And for those of you that are listening and then maybe listening later, I just want to take a moment and pray for you right now. Father, in the precious matchless name of the Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this divine study regarding cultivating the heart. I pray even now that the words that have been spoken and the biblical truths that have been released, God, that they will become spirit and life in our souls. And Father, that you will cultivate us and cause us to be the vessels and women that you can use for your glory. We want to thank you now, Father. We thank you now, Father, for Dr. Sharon, how she has engaged and committed herself to this journey. Lord, that we might be inspired and empowered by the word of God. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you, and we can't thank you enough. And I pray for all those who are listening and that will listen even later, that the glory, the peace, and the joy of the Lord may be released upon your life in everything that you do. And everything that you touch, in the name of Jesus, you shall be blessed. Jesus. We thank you for it now, for divine healing. We thank you even now, God, for the covering of your blood and your Holy Spirit, that even from this day forward and moving forward, that we will learn how to bind together as women who have been encouraged and empowered to inspire and lift up others through the anointing that you've placed upon our lives, that we will not be weary in well-doing, but we shall reap if we just don't faint. We thank you for it now, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Elder Kevin, about sharing, if you have something else to say, that we'll certainly be reaching out to all of you that are listening concerning our monthly fellowship. We're looking forward to that. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'll turn it over to Elder Kevin.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Cole and Dr. Crenshaw. Thank you so much. Praise God.
Amen.
What a powerful series, ladies and gentlemen. What a powerful book from Dr. Sharon Cole. Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, ladies and gentlemen. Highlighting Cultivating My Heart, the book, author Vera Lee Ray Warner. We encourage everybody to get in touch with us concerning that book. And if you'd like to get in touch with Dr. Cole, just give me a call. We'll be glad to pass that information on at 404-401-0233, 404-401-0233. And for more details and information about Kingdom Life Worship Center, ladies and gentlemen, in Fayetteville, Georgia, also give me a holler as well, a call or text at 404-401-0233. We encourage everybody, if you don't have a church home, to visit us at Kingdom Life Worship Center in Fayetteville, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a call at 404-401-0233 for more details. And we'll be excited about getting that information to you and passing on information to Dr. Cole. All right. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Also, too, don't want to forget, on behalf of everybody out there, on behalf of the staff, I should say, or the support for Dr. Cole and the network, happy Mother's Day to all the awesome moms. It's coming up this Sunday, I believe. So happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. God bless you. Praise God. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Cole releases some more information, more books, and also two more deep diving into the book, I call it, we'll be glad to get that information out to you. So be on the lookout. We'll put it out on social media and let you know as she is led to give you some more powerful areas of the learning and teaching of the word for Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said to her, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, died come to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary. If I wash your feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair, you weren't there the night it found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me, and you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster pile. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. Poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster vial. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another production of Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, host and facilitator on the network. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give God a hand clap of praise as we close out. Have a great evening.